Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from my home in near Branson, Missouri. I want to go back to a subject that we talked about last week because it is so important in the light of what is happening in Israel. We talked about being on God's side, that God has a side in Israel. You can listen to it on the archives. Just go to billybrim.org and get the radio archives. Can't go through all throughout it again, but there is something that's even so-called Christian anti-Semitism. It couldn't be really Christian and be anti-Semitic, although that's kind of a misnomer too. We really mean Jew hatred. We really mean Israel against Israel and God's promises to the land of Israel. And God has a side on these things. His side is in the Word of God. Now, I have done some books. We're offering them this week. One, it's just scriptures. So many Christians are ignorant of what God has said. So I have to side up with God's side on everything, and God's side on everything is in the Bible. His side on Israel and who gets that land is throughout the Bible. And I've collected those scriptures where he promised the land. You see, the Bible, it's the Holy Land. It's holy to all of us, but it's promised only to one peoples, and that's the Jews. God's promises of the land to Israel, I put together in a little pocketbook, mini book, and we'll give it to you this week for $1. Normally sells for $3, $1 plus shipping. God's promises of the land to Israel. Another one? Very important right now. Every president, every senator, every congressman should know this. The judgment of the nations, as nations, is on how they treat Israel. So I took all of those scriptures and put them together in a book, Judgment of the Nations for How They Treat Israel, by myself, Dr. Billy Brim, and it is $1 plus shipping. Then we have another book we're making available, The Mountains of Israel, The Bible and the West Bank, because it's becoming more and more prominent. Divide the land, two-state solution. You don't want to be on the wrong side. You want to be on God's side. And Norma Archbold did a very fine job of putting this book together, The Mountains of Israel, The Bible and the West Bank. We're giving it to you this week for $5 plus shipping. I say giving. It is almost giving because that book costs us a lot. Now, the Bible has to be rightly divided. It is, you want to know God's will, and God's will is in his word, but you have to rightly divide God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is the Bible. It has to be rightly divided. If it can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. And error from the pulpit, or, you know, people who preach error, teach error, speak error, they do it mainly because of a wrong division of the Word of God. Now, the Bible tells us three groups of peoples as such that can be addressed in Scripture. So those are in 1 Corinthians 10:32. And of course, this is in a letter written to the church. God says, give no one offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, that's the nations, nor to the church of God. Three groups of people. In the Old Testament, only two, the Jews and the Gentiles. In the New Testament, from Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on, there's a third group. Anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and is born again, that God raised him from the dead, they have a new birth experience, and they became a species who's never been before. They're not a kind of a reworked Jew or a reworked Gentile. No, their old man died and they became a new species, a brand new man who never existed before. But that didn't do away with the first two. There are still Jews, there are still Gentiles, still nations. Now, there have been some really bad decisions made by old line denominations who have come out against the Jews having what the world calls the West Bank. It's really the mountains of Israel. All of Abraham's altars are on it. Shechem, Bethel, Hebron, all on what the world calls the West Bank. Old Jerusalem on what the world calls the West Bank. Bethlehem, Ai, Bethany, and we could go on. Shiloh, all on what the world calls the West Bank and are urging the Jews to give away. So God has a side on this matter. And to know God's side on the matter, you have to know God's word. And there has crept something into Christianity from ancient times called replacement theology. And I'm going to show you today how it could be coloring your thoughts and how it's a systematic thing that has happened, really founded by the devil. I'm going to read to you right now from a paper, Replacement Theology, The Error of Replacement Theology by Clarence Wagner Jr. Perhaps, he writes, you have heard of the term replacement theology. It is a doctrinal teaching that originated in the earliest days of the church. Not the very earliest, not when Jesus was here, but a couple centuries after. It became the fertile soil from which Christian anti-Semitism grew and has infected the church for nearly 1900 years. What is replacement theology? Replacement theology was introduced to the church shortly after Gentile leadership took over from Jewish leadership. What are its premises? Basically, it's this. Israel, the Jewish people and the land, has been replaced by the Christian church in the purposes of God. Or more precisely, the church is the historic continuation of Israel to the exclusion of the former. And then he has some bulleted points. Number one, the Jewish people are now no longer a chosen people. In fact, they are no different from any other group, such as the English, Spanish, or Africans. Number two, apart from the Jewish people have no future, no hope, and no calling in the plan of God. Number three, since Pentecost of Acts 2, the term Israel, as found in the Bible, now refers to the church. Old Testament and New. Now, I don't want you to think these are my ideas. I'm reading from a paper on replacement theology. Number four, the promises, covenants, and blessings ascribed to Israel in the Bible have been taken away from the Jews and given to the church, which has superseded them. However, the Jews are subject to the curses found in the Bible. I'm skipping some of the things, but now he's down to number six. All the promises made to Israel in the Old Testament, unless they were historically fulfilled before the coming of Jesus Christ, are now the property of the Christian church. These promises should not be literally interpreted, but spiritually and symbolically, so that references to Israel, Jerusalem, Zion, and the temple, when they are prophetic, really refer to the church, to the exclusion of Israel. Now, early on in the writings of the early fathers, we find that these things found their way into Christian doctrine. Eusebius wrote in the early 4th century that the Hebrew scriptures were for Christians and not for the Jews. The curses were for the Jews. He argued that the continuation of the Old Testament, the church is the continuation of the Old Testament and superseded the Jews. Irenaeus wrote, Jews are disinherited. Justin Martyr wrote, the scriptures are not yours, he said to the Jews, but ours. At the beginning of the 4th century, a monumental event occurred for the church. In AD 306, Constantine became the first Christian Roman emperor. Oh, I've done so much research into the history of the things that happened then. He made Christianity the official religion of the empire to the exclusion of all other religions, and there followed a day in which by a certain date they decreed that every Roman citizen, when he awoke the next morning, he was a Christian. Of course, a lot of pagans woke up and called themselves Christians, and they were not at all Christians. They were not born again. He called for councils, and at these councils, they sort of made up their rules as they went along. At the church council, he asked the bishops from all the areas to come to his councils. Well, not everybody went. Some of them didn't believe Constantine had the right to. He pointed himself. He was the head of the church. He decided that at some of these councils he called that what constituted being saved was baptism. He didn't know if it was at death or birth, so he had them at both. But he himself was not baptized until his death. He even ordered his wife murdered, killed after, and made his mother the head of the state. So he didn't really have what you would call the fruit of the born-again spirit. At the church council in Elvira, Spain in AD 305, declarations were made to keep Jews and Christians apart, including ordering Christians not to share meals with Jews, not to marry Jews, not to use Jews to bless their fields, and not to observe the Jewish Sabbath. Imperial Rome in AD 313 in the edict issued the Edict of Milan, which favored Christianity and outlawed synagogues. Another edict 2 years later allowed the burning of Jews if they became convicted of breaking these laws. Outlawing synagogues, and if they don't, if they go to synagogues, then we can burn them. Jews were excluded from holding high offices or a military career, and these and other restrictions were confirmed over and over again by various church councils for the next 1,000 years. You know, the Nicene Council. And so it became told abroad that perhaps Constantine was the Antichrist. And that didn't go down. He said, let's take the book of Revelation out. And that didn't go down. So they decided to put the Bible, because how can you read, if you read the Bible and it says Israel, how can you know that it really means the church unless a priest tells you? So they locked up the Bible and they made it against the law to read the Bible unless a priest read it to you. And then he could explain to you why it didn't mean you, but it meant, it didn't mean the Jews, but it meant someone else. So that lasted, that the Catholics could not read their Bibles until really a dear friend of mine, God called to minister to the Catholics because he was going to move in the Catholic Church, and that was David Duplessis. And there was a certain certain pope, and he said to him, David told me this himself, what would the Christians like you say to me if they could get something from me? He said, I have no idea. What would you say, David, that the Christians could read their Bibles? And so it's just been in my lifetime, the Catholics rather, that the Catholics could read their Bible. That's happened in my lifetime. And so praise the Lord, much light has come now among them, and light has come to the world. But we're going to go on tomorrow and talk some more about replacement theology. And if you want to, I invite you to go back and listen as I begin these series about God's side being on the side of Israel and being on the side of God in Gaza. You'll need to go back and listen to last week and listen to this week. This is Billy Brim coming to you saying shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.